I'm really excited to share this message with you. In the last week, we did a memorial service last Saturday for Al. And then we had Memorial Day weekend as well, that same weekend. And you know, those are sad times. A memorial is about that people have passed on. And these events have to do with death, and of course, whenever you think of death, you think of what might come next. And as a Christian, we know there's only two places, okay? I mean, it's heaven and hell. And it's been my experience that most Christians know this, and they know a lot about hell, and they know a lot about why we don't want to go there, and that's all valid, and it's all good. But is your version of heaven compelling? Is it motivating? Do we get excited when we talk about heaven? Do we get excited when we share with somebody, you don't want to burn and you don't want to have pain, you don't want to have suffering, but what about the other side? I think about, and you may think Death Valley's great, and I guess it is in its own way, but I wouldn't want to be there my whole life. And yet, if all we ever talked about was, well, I'm glad I'm not in Death Valley, especially in July and August, but what about where you could be? And so we need to understand that there's the other side. We shouldn't just do like kind of negative witnessing. It should be positive witnessing as well. And should we not talk about heaven and how great it is and how we really want to go there and there's good reasons to want to go there? Because the world has a picture of heaven, and most people know that picture of heaven very well. You see it, just like Muhammad Ali just passed away, and they're talking about how he's gone to meet his God. Well, if he's really Muslim, he has gone, and he's not meeting his God. I mean, I hate to say that. He met the real God at some point, but there's a picture that the world has about, wearing a white robe on a cloud, playing a harp forever and ever and ever. Does that sound motivating to you? Is that compelling to you? You're going to sing in a choir 24/7? Now, if you're super musical, I don't care how great you are, you probably get tired of that, after about 10,000 years or so. Is that really compelling? It's just not compelling to me, not those pictures. And probably not to you either when you really stop to think about it. And so no wonder people, including Christians, unfortunately, we spend a lot of time and energy and sacrifice in building our own heaven right here on earth. A lot of stuff. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with being blessed and that, but God does bless, but heaven is not here on earth. And you're only here on earth a short time. And so today I hope to give you this compelling, motivating look at heaven and why we should want to go there. And we're going to kick this off with a video. And of course, the title of the message, Seven Truths About Heaven. And it is the longest PowerPoint I ever put together, so brace yourself. But we're off to a good start. It's not yet 10:30, so hopefully... and it's not like 60 slides or anything, but it's still the longest one I've done. Because there's a lot about heaven in the Bible that you might not really have thought about or ever interpreted it that way. But I've got a video I'm going to want you to watch, but on the back of your outline is the words to this video. Because I'm going to go through them briefly to point out a few things, because I really want you to watch the video, and you might not... my inner rocker's coming out. It's kind of a rocky thing, And I know a lot of you don't understand the words they sing sometimes, but I really want you to watch the video because you got the words, okay? Because the video has a message. dark days are going to go away. Okay, sometimes days here are dark, aren't they? But they're going to go away, and they don't have the final say. Our bones were always going to fade. Okay, because we were made for another place. Remember the verse I had him read? They were looking for another place. Okay, the moment of our final breath, our fears are put to rest. Every tear will disappear. The sadness we have here at times, that's all going to be gone, folks, because heaven is real. And then the chorus is, we're going to live on forever. And we're not, and we are not where we belong. You see, sometimes we act like this is our country. And we act like this is our citizenship. But as a Christian, our citizenship is in heaven, folks. That's our country. And we're not where we belong. We are here as sojourners, the Bible calls us. And we have a hope that we're going to live on. And that word hope is the biblical word hope, which means confidence. If you have Christ as your Savior, you are confident you're going to live on. Okay? So we're not where we belong. We have a hope we're going to live on forever. We're breathing air we've never breathed. We'll see colors we've never seen. Every sound like a symphony rising up as the angels sing. The arms of grace are open wide. You know, that's by grace you are saved through faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The face of love before our eyes, where every tear will disappear, heaven is real. Our hearts have been set in motion for something more. You understand there's more to it than this world. More than we could ever imagine. There's so much more. There's so much more. God is an infinite God, folks. He's very creative. We don't even have a clue. I mean, we have clues. We don't have a grasp of the reality of what God has for us. And so all that to say, this video and what this video is about, and it's going to punch you a little bit. And I'm just going to kind of explain it for you because you got to really, Kathy and I were talking about, you got to watch it a few times to really get all the stuff that's in it. But the nuts and bolts of it is, it opens up with a guy in the street. He's dead. He's been hit by a car. And he gets up. Okay, and everybody's kind of froze. The ones that were over the body, they're frozen. He gets up. That's him getting up because he's living forever. Get it? And so then he starts running, and he's going, and he can, like, leap straight up a mountain, and he's jumping off cliffs. And I'm going to be talking about the body that we will have is going to be different than the one we have now. And then there comes this point. It's all this about him, you know, his body's different and all this. And then it goes back to where he gets hit by the car. And then it goes back to before he gets hit by the car, and he's sitting on the porch. And he's making a decision to go ride his bike. Okay? And that's how it ends. Because you know what? Every one of us got up this morning and rode our bike, whether your bike was a car or a truck or whatever you did. And you had no guarantee you were going to get here today. Okay? So, Dave, if you'll go ahead and just, you know, you've kind of heard the thing, but watch the video. It's... Kind of grabs you when that car hits him, don't it? But you know, we all face that every day. We all face that every day. And I don't have a message text because I'm going to be all over the Bible today. But for you, there's only a few verses that I don't have up here. And so if you want to kind of put your finger in Matthew 6 and 1 Corinthians 3, we will get there eventually. And then also at the very, towards the end, Revelation 21. So, and those are all on your sheet. They're on your outline, but all the rest of the verses I'll have up here so that we don't have to be flipping 500 places, you know, throughout the message. But, you know, we should be looking forward to heaven. And I know, you know, what struck me this week, you know, Lorna sent a prayer request for her, is it your sister? You know, and her sister's daughter, who's kind of watching her, and she said they're scared. You know, that was one of the things that I understand being scared, but man, we need to be looking forward. You know, you've heard me say it. You know, you can't threaten me with heaven. And you know, we do have attachments here, and we want to see our kids grow up and our grandkids and those kinds of things, but. But when the time comes, and I'm glad we got something better to look forward to. I'm glad God has provided, and we're going to look here at some things God has provided for us, okay, in heaven. And so first of all, heaven is a place of resolution. It's a place of resolution. And I got a couple of subheadings under there. First of all, there will be perfect understanding. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see indistinctly, as in a mirror. I think in the King James it says darkly. It's like looking through a dark glass. You can kind of see, but not really. But then face to face, because why? Now I know in part, but then I will know fully. You know, the things that did not make sense to you in this life will become clear in heaven. You're going to have answers. There's not going to be any more why. It's all going to be resolved. It's going to be taken care of. You're going to get it. Because there's just some things we don't get in this life. We just don't understand it. We wonder why we were singled out. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, we don't see the big picture. But I believe in heaven, we will know. Right now, we know in part. But then, I will know fully. I will know fully. And so that's the first part. The second, there will be perfect justice. Perfect justice. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. You understand? We've all been around people that have gotten away with something. You know, the guy at work that, you know, that stepped on you to get the promotion or whatever. Somebody did you wrong. Or somebody that you know, they rail against God. And it just seems like the more they blaspheme God, the more they prosper. And we're like, what is up with that? Why does that happen? But you need to understand, in heaven, God will bring every act. Everything will be held to accountability. Every hidden thing, the things that people thought they got away with, whether it's good or evil, is going to be made known. Because, you know, sometimes we do good things and nobody notices, right? Well, let me tell you, God notices. God notices. And that's going to be made manifest in heaven one day. There will be perfect vindication. Perfect vindication. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, then we should be pitied more than anyone. You know, if you think just living for Christ in this life is all there is, and you know, it's only for now, and when things don't work out now, when people say things against you, you know, we got a situation going on in our family, and it's not our immediate family, it's kind of removed a little bit, but they're saying some, people are saying some bad things about someone, and it's really bothering them. But you know what? Our hope is not in this life. There's going to be vindication. How about when people find out you're a Christian and they put you down? Oh, you believe in that fairy tale, or you need God as a crutch, or there's no, you know, this is the only reality there is, and, you know, and that kind of thing, and they put you down, one day you'll be vindicated. You'll be vindicated. Because if Christ is only for this life, then why are we doing what we're doing right here, right now? Why do we serve right now? Why do we do classes? Why do we go out and try to impact a community? You know, if it's only for right now, we are wasting our time and we should be pitied more than anyone. Just like the Word said. But we know there's more. And there will be vindication. There's people out there that will say, you're wasting your time. You're believing a lie. But you know what? God will have the final word. God will have the final word. So heaven is a place of resolution. All those loose ends of your life will be tied together. It'll all be tied up nice and neat. All those things you couldn't figure out. Heaven is a place of renewal. Renewal. Okay? So if you haven't figured it out yet, they're all going to start with R. So yeah. Sometimes that's the hardest part of the message, you know, is finding the words. Sometimes you got to stretch them a little bit, but, you know, they teach you in Bible college, you know, alliteration. It helps people remember, you know. So. But we've got a couple of categories here. New bodies. How many here would like to say amen to new bodies? Amen. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. Look what Paul says. For we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, and he's talking about bodies here, he's talking about flesh and blood here, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, and this is how we know he's talking about the body. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to put on our dwelling from heaven. We're going to get these new bodies. And you saw that in the video. I mean, you ever know, this guy was in the desert running. He wasn't sweating. And he wasn't getting tired. I know Kathy does these marathons. Do you get tired and sweat? Yeah, absolutely. Even on a cool day. But, you know, he's just running. And then he just kind of went straight up this. Did you see him go up the cliff? You know, just, he just went up. You know, we got a glimpse of this in the scriptures, folks. What did Jesus do after he rose from the dead? The disciples were all in the locked room, and then poof, there he was. And the Bible makes a point of saying the door was locked. And poof, there he was. And then they thought he was a spirit, so he said, give me something to eat. And he ate with them and drank with them, and he made them touch him. We're getting new bodies, folks. And they're going to be awesome. There's not going to be any pain associated with them. There's, you know, I was talking with Johnny, come walking in this morning leaning this way, you know, and I said, is your back bothering you? I mean, you know, because I got a bad back and I know how it feels and I know how I walk when I got one, you know. All that's going to be gone. And, you know, time and space isn't going to matter. I mean, we get a glimpse of this, and you will have the body, you know. Jesus taught this when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus. You know, this was not a parable, folks. This was an actual event. And the rich man, you know, he lived good in this life, and Lazarus was the beggar. And he ate crumbs. And then they both died. And the rich man, Bible says he opened his eyes in torment. But Lazarus was comforted and felt peace, and it was all good. And the rich man, and we know there's physical stuff, the rich man says, have Lazarus put his finger in some water and put it on my tongue to give me relief. See, a lot of people say, well, when's your body going to, because, you know, we bury the body, right? Or cremate it or whatever, and there's the body. But, you know, when you die, you're going to get the new body right away. And then one day, when all things come, we're going to meet the old body somehow. You know, and I don't totally get the whole thing. But the Bible says the graves will open and we'll be rejoined and whatever. And so, you know, the things I don't understand, I just know that God does, and I just trust him. But the point is, we're going to get new bodies, and we're not going to feel pain, and we're going to be able to move like we never could move before. It's going to be cool. I mean, I want to jump up a cliff. That'd be cool. You know, like you know, he was underwater and he didn't even need to breathe, you know? He's just swimming. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. We don't get the whole picture here. But definitely it's going to be better. It's going to be way cool. And we should be excited about that. So we're going to have new bodies. We're going to have new relationships. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about this. God is relational in nature. That's part of His nature. He's about relationship, folks. Before He made anything, He had perfect relationship with Himself. He had the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all coexisted at the same time before there was anything else. And He was in relationship. And then He created the universe and everything in it and created people. And guess what? He sought relationship with people. And He had it with Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve blew it. But He had already made a provision to restore the relationship. The Bible is about relationship. It's about mankind being separated from God because of sin, and that happens in like the first couple chapters, and then after that, the whole rest of the book is about God restoring relationship. That's what it's about. He is a relationship person. And when we get to heaven, man, we're going to have all kinds of relationships. You realize how many people's going to be there? There's going to be a lot of people there. I don't know about you. I can't wait to meet David or Noah or, you know, all these different guys and women that you read about in the scriptures, man. That's going to be cool. And we're going to have a relationship with them. And with God on a level that we can't even fathom at this place. But there's a relationship to be had with God beyond what we can have right now. New relationships. You know, God is relational. He created marriage, family, community. And in heaven, our relationships will be pure. They will be unaffected by selfishness and preference. Because we are kind of selfish in our relationships, you know. I like this guy better than I like that guy. You know, we have our little things. But in heaven, all that's going to be removed. It's going to be pure. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be nice. Third, under this heading of renewal, we're going to have new homes. We're going to have new homes. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places or mansions. Maybe the term more familiar to some of you. If not, I'd have told you. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, let me ask you something. Now, when you read that, what comes to your mind? I mean, I'm gonna challenge you here this morning. You know, what comes to your mind? Oh, and, you know, and I've had, you know, like that song we played at Al's memorial service. You know, God's gonna build me a cabin in the corner of heaven. You know, and that's cool. And I've heard other people that were really horse people, and they just want to be in the stable in heaven. You know, then other people, you know, well, I just want this nice thing. You know, everybody has this thing in their head, what they think, you know, God's gone to prepare a place for me. And so what comes to your mind? And I'm going to challenge you with something. Think about the place God made for Adam and Eve. He gave them the earth and everything in it. God is a big God, folks. I don't know what God has for you and me, but I think it's way better than what we're imagining. I mean, He made Adam and Eve and gave them a planet. God is not limited. You know, it's kind of like our house, you know, we run out of room, you know. We get all of our stuff in there, and then there's no room for stuff. God doesn't run out of room, folks. God's got all the room in the world. And if he happened to run out, which I think is impossible, but he could make more room, you know, if he wanted to. I'm just challenging you to think bigger. Heaven's going to be fantastic, folks. And if you have Christ as Savior, he's got a chunk of it carved out for you. He says, if it wasn't true, I would have told you. Now, either you believe it or you don't. It's either truth or it's not. Because that word mansion, it literally means dwelling place. That's when the Greek word is a dwelling place. So a dwelling place, big, can be extremely big. I mean, think about it. I don't know, but think about it. It's pretty intriguing. So heaven's a place of resolution. It's a place of renewal. It's a place of rewards. It's a place of rewards. And this is where you need to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as well. But in Matthew chapter 6, starting in the first verse, he says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. It's not talking about don't do good in front of people. It's talking about your motive. Do you do good in front of people so that they will, you know, see how good you are? Okay? He says, otherwise, if you do that, he says, you will have no reward. Okay? You'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So he says down in verse 3, but when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Will reward you. And then he goes on, talk about praying. Don't pray so that people go, wow, what a spiritual guy that guy is. Look at that prayer. You know, oh my goodness. Because that's what the Pharisees used to do. They made these lengthy, flowery prayers, and it wasn't because they were sincere, it was because they were showing off for the people. They loved the praise of men. But he says in verse 6, but when you pray, go in your private room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so we need to understand that there's rewards. That's kind of a specific, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll just turn over with you. That way I don't outrun you by already having it marked. Starting in verse 8. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And he's talking about sharing the gospel. And some plant seed, others people already have a knowledge and we water them. In other words, we give them more information, more truth. And then he says, for we are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. See, we are all, Christ is our foundation, but we build our house. And he says, no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. So what are you building your house out of? Are you building your house out of wood, hay, and straw that burns up in the fire? Or are you building your house with gold, silver, precious stones that withstand the fire? And it says, if anyone's work that has built survives, he will receive a reward. There are rewards in heaven, folks. And you can read in other places. I didn't go into it because you could preach 7 weeks on this because there's like seven crowns or something like that, or five crowns or seven. I mean, you could preach on each one each week. Different rewards that are available to us for our service. Listen, salvation's not a reward. Even if you stick your head in the sand as a Christian your whole life, you're still saved if you're truly saved. The works are what you get the reward for, is how well you obey your master once he becomes your master. So, but it is a place of rewards. How we live our life, folks, has accountability. There is accountability. We have been entrusted with the word and with experiences and with other people's souls, so to speak, that we're supposed to share with. And we will be accountable for it. So it's a place where our life has accountability with the promise of reward. With the promise of reward. Heaven's a place of rewards, folks. We should be looking forward to that. God, the living God, giving me a reward. And the only thing I could do is what he enabled me to do. I mean, it's not even my ability. It's not even anything with me. I mean, apart from him, we can do nothing. So, but he's gracious. He gives us rewards even when he did the work through us. But that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to that. Heaven is a place of varying responsibility. Varying responsibility. Now I will explain this because that sounds like, what does that mean? But I had to come up with our word. You know. Look at Matthew here. Jesus said to them, I assure you, in the Messianic age, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me, he's talking to his disciples, will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. Now, are any of us going to sit on those thrones? It's not reserved for us. That's going to be their reward. Okay? But thrones are a place from which, and see, they're going to be judging too. There's some responsibility there. And you know what? Their responsibility is not going to be the same as mine. Look at this. And everyone, now see, he was talking to the 12. But then he says, now he's bringing everyone into it. Everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and inherit eternal life as well. You know, 100 times more what? I don't know. But 100 times more is pretty good, whatever it is. In heaven, because you know there's nothing going to be bad there, right? And there's going to be levels of authority there, and we'll get into that a little bit further on one of the other points. But it, you know, we're not all going to be the same. Now we'll all have the same peace and things like that, but we're not going to have the same job. You know, you don't get to choose how you came into this world. You didn't choose to be female or male. You didn't choose to be short or tall or have abilities, you know, whatever abilities you had. You didn't choose those abilities. They were, you know, that was something God gave you. But what's interesting is he uses the word 100 times, which means whatever we do for him here, we're going to get 100 times. So we actually have some control over what it's going to be like for us up there. Because if we just do a little, well, 100 times a little is a little. But if God, if you submitted to God and he used you a lot, now that's not in terms of what we consider a lot. I think it's more in terms of obedience, more in terms of being submitted to his will. And the one that submitted a lot, going to get 100 times a lot. We have some choice in this. How much do you submit to God? You know, we praise Him and thank Him for salvation. We praise Him and we thank Him that we don't go to hell, that we have, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that and all that goes with that. And then we kind of do our own thing. And, you know, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. I've done my own thing plenty of times, made my own choices. But I think the more that I submit to Him, the better it will be. It just seems to indicate that. I don't know how else to read it. Because He uses multiplication. Just some stuff. Place a varying responsibility. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, people like the Pharisees that proclaim themselves, they may not be as high up on the list as the widow who put in all she had and received eternal mention in the Word of God. That's pretty amazing. So it's a place of varying responsibility. Heaven is a place of recreation. It's not recreation. It's recreation. We can turn to Revelation 21. Back of the book. It's always good to read the end. That's right. Especially when you know it's really going to happen. It's a place of recreation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. I mean, you ponder that for a while. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And here's some good news. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. And then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." And then look at 22 verse 5 of Revelation. Night will no longer exist. People will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Listen, creating is God's nature. He's a creative God. What makes you think He's not going to be doing stuff up there in heaven that we, you know, it's just going to blow our minds? To get back in the 60s, my inner 60s child. You know why I pointed out this, you know, I wasn't even going to go to 22. I was just going to stay. But I read the rest of the book, because once I got started with this 21, I just had to read the rest of it again, you know, because it's all so good. But that last part of verse 5 and 22, and they will reign. Think about this. They, the people, will reign forever and ever. And so my question is, reign over what? Reign over, I mean, if you're going to reign, something's going to be under you. Right? I mean, if nobody's under you, you're not reigning, right? Kind of crazy, huh? Heaven's going to be a little more complicated than we're thinking. I mean, I don't think it's going to be complicated in the sense that it's a burden or anything like that, but there's just more to it. Maybe I should put it that way. There's going to be a lot more to it than we really stop and think about sometimes. The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. There's going to be action in heaven, folks. There's going to be stuff going on. It's not going to be monotonous. It's not going to be repetition after repetition. It's It's a place of recreation. It's God is a creator God. And I'm not even going to try and even say the possibilities, because that'd be speaking for him over which he has given me no light in his word. But all I can say is we're going to be reigning over something. Or he wouldn't have wrote it in there. And man, we get to be a part of that. And we're involved in that. You know, he's not just up there puppet master. We're going to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about that. Pardon me?
So this is just the trailer.
Yeah, this is just the trailer for the big picture. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. It's the teaser. Lastly, heaven is a place of endless revealing. Endless revealing. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. He's going to be revealing stuff to us that we've never thought of. You know, those are the words in that song as well. You know, colors we've never seen. Songs we've never heard, probably. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that can enter my mind. And he's telling me he's preparing things that have never entered my mind. It's going to be endless revealing. Listen, God is infinite. And we're going to have an infinite amount of time. And I know it's hard for us to get a grip on infinity. But it's never going to get old up there, folks. It's never going to get monotonous. It's not going to be like kids like to say, this is so boring. It's not going to be boring in heaven. Yeah, exactly. It's a place of endless revealing. God has got things planned for us that we cannot even imagine. I'm pretty excited about that. Heaven is motivating. It is. Man, we should be motivated. Heaven is compelling. Heaven is not boring or repetitive. And because of Jesus Christ, we will be there one day. Those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, you'll be there. You will participate in that. Praise the Lord, because heaven is real. Heaven is real. And we don't even know the half of it. We don't even know the half of it. Now, you saw there, I said seven truths about heaven, and you had six blanks to fill in. Did anybody notice that? A couple people noticed it. Because there's one more. As I go into the invitation, heaven is a place of rejection also. It's a place of rejection also. Matthew says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I like the way King James puts it. You worker of iniquity. Lawbreaker. Same thing. Yeah, heaven's a place of rejection too, because you realize what's really kind of something I never really thought about until it was, I knew this years ago, but at the time when I realized it, I never had really put it together. But you know, when people die and they don't have the Lord, they just like the rich man, they open their eyes in torment. But there's going to come a day when they're going to come out of that. They're going to come out of that and they're going to go to where God is in heaven. And they're going to be judged. And you know, and if they're ignorant of the word, they're probably going to be thinking, my time's over at last. It's over. But no, it's just beginning. because they're going to face the Lord God at the great white throne. And because they have not accepted Christ as their Savior, they're going to be judged on the basis of what they have done in their life. And they are going to be found guilty, and they will have to pay the price. They will be rejected from heaven, and they will be sent to the lake of fire, where the Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to have a body. You can't gnash imaginary teeth, folks. This is the invitation. Heaven is real. Man, we got a lot to look forward to, but you know what? Hell's real too. And there may be someone here today that has never asked God to forgive them, has never asked God to save them, never asked God to change them. And that's your opportunity right now. Don't be rejected. You don't have to be. You can be accepted. For the rest of us, I hope this has opened your eyes maybe a little bit about heaven. Maybe given you something more to think. I hope it's made you excited. Rather than scared, rather than fearful. Because, you know, we do fear death. I mean, we do. Every one of us has a little. We don't want to do that. But, man, focus on what God has for you. It's very compelling. It's very motivating. And you know what? I hope that you'll take some of this. And you know, and there's more in there, actually. I could have done more, but when you share with somebody, don't just share what they don't go to, but share what's ahead of them. You know, it's a good place to be. You know, it's just like I've been kind of talking with my grandkids. We're getting ready to go to, you know, Grand Canyon and Moab out there at Arches and then down to Durango. And I've been sharing with them what's there because they've never been there. I say, man, there's some really cool rock formations and, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, that's much more compelling than just saying to them, hey, I can't wait for the next 2 weeks because we won't be going to Death Valley. You know? Oh, boy. Well, we don't have to go anywhere to not go to Death Valley. You know, we could just stay home. You know, what's exciting about that? So I hope, if maybe you just didn't know what to say about heaven, and you wouldn't be alone there. Because most of us have that kind of skewed world view about robes and harps and stuff. Okay? But heaven's much more dynamic than that, and I hope you take it to heart, and I hope you share it. Because it can make a difference in somebody's life. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. This time's for you. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never asked him to forgive me and asked him to save me. Anybody like that? I've never made Christ the Lord of my life. I've never done that. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'll just pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. Okay, as far as I know, everyone has done that. And so for the rest of us, how many here would say, Brother Mike, I'm glad you told me about this, and I'm going to try and share heaven with more people now that I know this. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, we want to have a religion of positive things, not just a religion of don't do this or don't do that. And we got a religion where we got a lot of freedom. We have a belief system here that gives us freedom and excitement and something to look forward to, and that's what we ought to be sharing. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for the gift of heaven. Thank you for the reality of it. Thank you for what it is and what it means. And thank you, Lord, that it's not confined to my little thinking process, but it's so much bigger than what we could ever think or imagine. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, help us to convey that to others, that others might come to know Christ as Savior and also have that same future that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and how you share it with us freely. Thank you for the Spirit who allows us to interpret it, Lord. He teaches us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you most of all for Christ, for without him, we are definitely lost. And so thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. You deal with God as Kathy plays. You pray. You deal with God as you see fit. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the truth of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your word that indeed gives us the truth that we need to survive in this life that we have here on planet Earth. And thank you, Lord, that planet Earth isn't all there is to the story, that you've created so much more with us in mind. Thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, amen.